about to begin a new sugya. So the Gemara begins on the first of Ramakamas and the Hamad Vayz and Zechat Kedushin, Tan Rabbanan, Ketid B'Kesef. We've been learning the sugya for about about 6 months, about Kesef and Anemili. How do you know this din of Kinin Kesef? How do you know this din of Kinin Shtah? How do you know this din of Kinin Biya? Now, finally, the Gemara tells us, how do you do it? Tachas. How are you Makadosh and Nisha with Kesef? So the rice begins, Nasal Makesef or Shava Kesef. So either you give our silver, or you give us something that's worth value of silver, Shava Kesef, Eski Kesef. That's, of course, what we do, Bizmanazel. We give Shava Kesef, we give the ring. And Vamalon, you say it Harem Kadeshously, or Harem Muresously. You don't have to use the actual magic words Kedushin. You can use any other word that describes the same idea. So you can use either the word Kedushin, or the word Erisin, or Haret Lili into is the Aramaic word for Ishti, for my wife. Any word that conjures up the same image of getting married is acceptable. Harizim Kudeshus. However, the Brisa says, Aval Hisha Nostav Amrahi. What if she gave him the ring and she said to him some kind of a lashon of kedushin, Harein Mekudeshes Lach. So she expresses the idea that she is Mekudeshes to him, or Harein Mereses Lach, or Harein Lach Intu. In all these cases, Ein Mekudeshes. So it sounds pretty straightforward that kedushin has to be emanating from the man to the woman and not vice versa. And the Gemara explains the source for this is the pasuk Yikach Ishisha. The Torah says explicitly that the man has to take the woman, not the other way around. So the problem with this braisa that Mariah is about to analyze is that the braisa is comparing and contrasting almost to extremes. In one case, he did everything. Everything includes the giving as well as the speaking. In the opposite case, she did everything, which is the giving plus the speaking. But the braisa doesn't address the middle cases. What if he does part and she does part? So what do we say about that? Do we say that's good? We say that's no good? So that's what Rav Papa's question was. Maskel Rav Papa's. Rav Papa questions the Braisa. Time of the Nasan Huva Amarhu. The beginning of the Braisa implies that the only reason why the Kedushin is good is because he did everything. Hanasan Huva Amrahi Enim Kedeshes, therefore implying that if he gave the ring but she said the words, it would be no good. So the simple reading of the beginning of the Braisa is everything must be done by the man. If any part, even merely the speech, is done by the woman, the Kedushin is not valid. Ema Seifa. If that's the case, look at the end of the Braisa. Ema Seifa. Aval Hisha Nasa Lova Amri Lova Kedushin. The Braisa is trying to highlight a case that's no good. And the Braisa tells us when she does everything, implying, Time of the Nasa Hivi Amri. Only if she does everything is it no good. Hanasa Nuva Amri, that middle case where he does the giving and she does the speaking, have a Kedushin. So it would appear that the Kedushin would be good. So the Gemara says, Reisha dafka sefka de naspa. So the Gemara's first answer is that the Reisha is really the din. That's the real halacha. Like it implies from the Reisha that he has to do everything. And the Sefer kind of got schlepped along. So the Gemara says, Vatani Sefer mills the sasal of the Reisha. How can you say the Sefer got schlepped along? So the Sefer is contradicting the Reisha. You have to take a stand. You have to decide which lashon of the Braisa is really the correct one. So the Gemara says, no, when it really answers this fall, so the Hachi Kamar. What the Braisa means to say is, Nasan Huva Amar Hu, Pshitad Hava Kedushin. There's no question that if he does everything, he gives and he speaks, that's for sure Kedushin. Nasan Huva Amar Hi, the case that doesn't appear in the Braisa, so it doesn't appear explicitly, but it's almost in between the lines. That middle, potentially controversial case, Nasek Misha, Nasnevi Amar Hi, Vilava Kedushin. What the Braisa means to say is that the middle case where he does and she speaks, it's so bad, it's so disqualified, it's so not a Kedushin, it's no different than the case when she does everything and she speaks as well. So when all the dust settles, at least at this stage of the Gemara, we have finally resolved our question, that the only time the Kedushin is valid is if he does everything. If she merely speaks, the whole Kedushin is batla mevutla min haTorah. That's up until this point. But v'ibay seima, there's a second lashon in the Gemara. V'ibay seima, maybe you can say as follows. Nasa nuva amahu mekudeshes. That's for sure good. Nasta hiva amrahi ain't mekudeshes. That's for sure no good. Nasa nuva amrahi. So that middle ground, which according to the first lashon in the Gemara we said, is for sure no good. Not so fast. According to the second lashon, sfeika hiva chashira midrabanan. The reason why the Braisa doesn't address that middle case is because we don't have anything definitive to say about it. We don't know what the din is. So we treat it as a suffix kedushin. So Nasa Nuva Amrahi, according to the second lashon of the Gemara, is a doubtful lashon of kedushin. We don't know. And what are the ramifications? Chashina Midrabanan. Therefore, we will insist on her getting a get. So can we say with a straight face that with certainty that she's married? Not sure. Can we say we're going to let her go free without a get? Also not sure. Sfeik yivich hashir medrabbanan. So there are really two different parts of the sugya that occur. They're actually this sugya and the next sugya, which all revolve around this conclusion of the Gemara. So the first issue that's going to become our sugya is, well, what exactly is the safek? According to the second lashon, why should the condition be valid? Why should the condition not be valid? What is the Gemara telling us about the Nesinus condition? What is the Gemara telling us about Amira's condition? What exactly is the Nekudas HaSafek, as we say? What's the point of doubt that we're not sure why this condition is good? That's our sugya. And then there's a second sugya from Mitzvah later on, which I can't say we'll get to this week, maybe the end of the week, but hopefully by next week, that even once we've identified what the Safek is, what do you do when you have a Safek of Kedushin? So the Lashna Gemara is very, very confusing. The Gemara says, well, we don't know whether the woman is Mekudeshes, so therefore, the rabbi said we're concerned. Chashir Midrabanan. The rabbis didn't say we're concerned. Who says we're concerned? The Torah says we're concerned. What kind of strange lashon is that? Chashir midrabbanan. Midrabbanan sounds like the rabbanan made up to light Neiros Chanukah. The rabbanan said to read the Megillah, to wash the Tosa Dayim. What the Gemara should have said is, it's a Safek, the Chashir midaraisa. And therefore the Torah says, we can't let this woman get married without a get. So that's a whole other ballgame, a whole other sugya. Hopefully, Mitzvah will get to that next week. But right now, we have to focus on what is the Safek. Now again, according to the first lashon, there is no Safek. According to the first lashon, we know with absolute certainty that Nosan Huva Amrihi is as no good as Nostiva Amrihi. It's completely no good, not even a Safek. But today's Shiur, and tomorrow's Shiur, and the rest of the week's Shiur, is going to revolve around the Nibai, same with the second Lashon of Gemara, that the Gemara is presenting for us a real logical possibility that there's a real bona fide Safek about this Kedushin. And the question that we have to raise is, what is this Safek? What exactly, what should the Din be? So Rashi on the spot, unfortunately, whenever this happens, the Rashis get chopped off because in Yeshiva the boys have the Gemara in front of them. So Rashi on the spot explains to us exactly what the latest of Safek is. So Rashi says, when it says in the Gemara, Nasan Hu, so Rashi jumps in and he says, Nasan Hu, that sounds good. Ki Yikach Ziv, that sounds like Ki Yikach. It sounds like that's what the Torah is describing. He should be taking her. He's giving her the ring. That's Ki Yikach. But the minute that she opens up her mouth, uh-oh, says Rashi, that's Ki Yikach. That's her running the show, and that's a no-no under the chuppah. So under the chuppah, that's the way Kedusha was Nimtzu L'Mar Shem Sinai. It has to be Ki Yikach Hashisha. He has to be the active one. She has to be the passive one. That's the way it is. When the people have issues with them, that's not our sugya right now. That's the way the Torah describes it. So Rashi says, so how do you define him doing something? How do you define her doing something? So the answer is, says Rashi, well, there are two components of Kedushin. There are two important things that take place in the chuppah. One is the giving of the ring, and the other is the dibur, the words of Arayat that accompany the giving of the ring. So now the Gemara gets into a bind. We're not sure. Because on the one hand, the giving of the ring is done by him. On the other hand, the speaking is done by her. So that makes it sound like it's a little bit of a mixture. It's a little bit of a kiyikach, a little bit of kisikach. So that's exactly what the Safek of the Gemara is. Is the halach of kiyikach, in contrast to kisikach, is that defined only by the nesina? Or is that defined by the entire picture? If any part of the picture, either the nesina or the dibur, is being done by the woman, that already runs into a problem of kiyikach or kisikach. So according to Rashi, the latest of Safek of the Gemara revolves around two words in Chumash. Kiyikach. That's it. That's the entire Safek of the Gemara. How do we touch up kiyikach? Is kiyikach only a function of the giving, or is kiyikach take into consideration the speaking as well?
Why is it a psul
deraisa? It's a safek deraisa. And again, that second part of why chashir midrabanan is a whole other ballgame, right?
Rabbi, why wouldn't they include the fourth case where?
Oh, I mean, the other way, when she gives it, he speaks. Very good. You have to touch this kasha. So we have to wait until we get to the 12th of the Mar Mekomis on that one. So at the rate that we go, that should take us close to Pesach. So we'll hopefully we'll get there. But you're right. That's the glaring case that's missing. Very good. Excellent. So does anybody disagree with Rashi? Is there any other way to learn Pshat in the Gemara that the issue in the Gemara is not so much an issue of Kiyikach, Yisikach, Psukim, but maybe there's something else that's going on? So if we take a look at the third of the Mar Mekomis, so the tour in Evan Ezra of Kedushas and Mechav Zayin, he adds on a little bit to the story. V'imnasan huva amrihi, if he gives to her and she does the speaking, imhoi medabri imal iske kedushin, havivadi kedushin. If they were talking about getting married beforehand, then for sure the kedushin is chal. Now we're going to hold off on that for a moment. We're going to get back to that maybe today, maybe tomorrow, why that should or should not affect the sugya. But we want to get to the next part. V'imlav havisafi kedushin. But if they weren't talking about Kiddushin, he just walks up to a girl and he just hands her a ring and she starts to speak. She says that Reini Mekudesh is Lach. So that's the case of the Gemara. That's the scenario of the Gemara where it's a Safek Kiddushin. So far the Torah hasn't told us anything. He just quoted the second Lashon of the Gemara. Because of HaRamah, but now he says, quotes from the Ramah. The Ramah was Rameir HaLevi. So because of HaRamah, the Kol Shekein im Ona HaBal Hein B'Shas Nesina Tavivad HaKedushin Afilim Ein HaSukim B'Yosu Inyan. So Ramah just said a whole curveball at us. He says, what would happen the following? So a boy meets a girl, and they weren't talking about Kedushin yet. They're not standing under a chuppah together. There are two Edom there. And the man gives a ring, and she gives the whole presentation. She gives the whole Hareini Mekudesh Aslocha, da 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 da. And at the end, he says, great. Chmid Maskim. Are they married or they're not married? So the Torah quotes in the Ramah, of course they're married. What's the Shaila? The Vada condition. Not even a Shaila. But he didn't say Arat Mekudesh Asli. Big deal. So what? So what's Pshat in this Torah? What's Pshat in this Ramah? Why should the fact that the husband just kind of nodded, you know, did ditto, and he agrees, he's maskim, why should that change anything? So it appears that the Ramah is learning the sugya different from Rashi. It appears that according to the Ramah, the issue of Nasan Huva Amrahi is not some objective halachic question of, was that a fulfillment of Kiyikach, or was that a violation of Kisikach? Rather, it's a question that revolves around what we call Das Kedushin. Namely, Tachlis, does the guy want to get married or not? So a man gives a ring to a woman and doesn't say why he's doing it. Maybe it's a graduation ring, maybe it's a birthday ring. We say, I give you 100 other reasons why he's giving her a ring. So we don't really know what the Dasa Ish is. So we're searching to ascertain what is the Dasa Ish. So usually the vehicle that we use to ascertain what the Dasa Ish is are the magic words of Rebbe Kadesh. It's hard to get more clear Das than that. But here he didn't do it. Here she did it. So we're looking for some kind of an indication from him that he's maskim. So yeah, he nods. Puts his thumbs up. So he says, yeah, great, mazel tov. He says, anything that gives us any indication that he's maskim to what just happened, shesim mekudesh v'toretz v'adai. Would Rashi ever say such a thing? Most probably not. Because according to Rashi, it wasn't a question of, well, what is the guy thinking? Does he have in mind this? Does he not have in mind? That's not the issue according to Rashi. According to Rashi, there's some official, objective, halachic criteria that have to be met. Namely, he has to be in the driver's seat. If she's at the controls together with him, that's no good. That's a violation of Kikach Loki Sikach. So once she does the deeper of Kedushin, we disqualify the Kedushin, even though we're reading his mind. We know exactly what he wants. He's nodding. He's giving a thumbs up. We know exactly what he wants. That's not relevant, says Rashi. That's true but irrelevant. According to Rashi, the Chisaron was not in the Das Kedushin. The Chisaron was in the halachic criteria of Kikach versus Kisikach. Therefore, all of his Gili Das, all of his indication that he's maskim, all his thumbs up from today till tomorrow are not going to change the facts. The facts are that she was the one who said the Kedushin. So she participated in the Maisa Kikach. So we seem to have two very, very different approaches here between Rashi against the Ramah as to what is the Nekudas HaSofik, what is the issue involved, what is the potential disqualification of Nasan Uvamrihi. According to Rashi, it's the Pasuk Zersakos of Kiyikach, which we're not sure whether it resembles enough Kiyikach or not, because she's doing the talking. According to the Ramah and the Tur, it's a different Sofik altogether. It's a Sofik of the Das Kedushin, by Nafkamina, being Nafkamina. If we can somehow read his mind in some other way, according to Rashi, reading his mind from today to tomorrow is not going to help. All the thumbs up, all the nodding are not going to help. According to the Ramah, as long as we know what he wants, that's good enough. But we have to take this one step further. This idea that she gives him the ring, and he just, you know, doesn't do anything. He gives her the ring, but he doesn't say anything. So we're not quite sure what his das is. So the question is, well, what do you mean we're not quite sure what his das is? He's giving her the ring, she's talking, and he's not responding to her talking. He's not screaming at her. He hands her a ring, doesn't say anything. She says Lashon Kedushin, and he doesn't scream, what are you talking about? This is a graduation present. What is this, a birthday present? We're not getting married so fast. We're still in high school. So why don't we apply the principle of, in a sense, like a shtika kohoda, from the fact that he is being quiet? Isn't that an indication that he's consenting to what's going on? Where do we find such a principle in Kedushin itself? Well, we find it in every marriage. A man gives a ring to a woman, he says, a Rebbe Kodesh's Li. How do you know she's maskim? The first Mishnah condition says, Isha Nikneish, which the Gemara derives from the Lashon Isha Nikneish, she has to be maskim. If you beat her up and give her, it's not going to be Chal. You have to be Kaddish and Isha Mirtzona, Midaita. How do you ever know you have Dasa Isha? She didn't open up her mouth. She's very, very quiet. She's not doing anything. How do you know she's maskim? So the answer is, well, if she wasn't maskim, she should have objected. And the fact that she didn't object, she accepted the ring, she knew what it's coming for, he said Kiddushin. So for the fact that she wasn't objecting, isn't that an indication of Da'as Ha'isha? So if that's the case, that at every Kiddushin, Da'as Ha'isha is always ascertained by Shtika Kodo, why can't we turn this around and say, well, let's ascertain Da'as Ha'ish by Shtika Kodo as well? So Bishlam, according to Rashi, who says that the deficiency in our sugya is not a das issue. There's an official halachic criteria called ki yikach that has to be met, and we're just not sure whether we met it because she's halfway in and she's sharing the controls with him. So then I understand. So if the goal of the sugya is not to determine what his das is, the goal of the sugya is to create ki yikach, so then all the shtika kodos from today to tomorrow are not going to create ki yikach. But according to the Raman, the Tur, that somehow Kikach was accomplished. Kikach is defined by the Nesidus HaKesa, that's all. The only reason why we're not sure this condition is valid is because we have almost a secondary tangential problem of a Chisaron of Das. It's a big deal. Das. Come on. We don't need that much to create Das. Shtika Kaldor creates Das. Not all that different than any other Shtika Kaldor that creates Das from the vantage points of the woman. So what is the real Chisaron of Das according to the Raman, the Tur? So in the fourth of the Raman Kamos, the Ran has the following insight. The Ran suggests, Oshema Tomar, Lo ki ela shtikasa mora haskamasa, shemitoch shehina eseres, im isa delo nichala, hayla limchais. Says the Ran, the shtika of the woman is a tremendous indication, is a clear-cut indication that she's masim to kedushin. You know why? Because look at the ramifications of her keeping quiet. If she keeps quiet and when he puts a ring on her finger and he says, she's stuck for life. She is now bound to him. She can't marry somebody else. She can't get a get against his will. She's mamish in a pickle. So obviously, if a woman accepts a ring and he says to her, she's going to tell us a story later. She was only kidding. She didn't really mean it. She really thought it was a graduation. There were two Edom there. He explained to her that there's a ring for Kedushin. She puts her finger out. She accepts the ring. So what do you mean? You didn't have Das. Ein lecha Das, kol mizeh. If it's really true that she wanted it to be moch, she wanted to protest, she should have protested. The stakes are too high for her not to protest. He gives her a ring. He didn't open it. He didn't say boo. So from his vantage point, he's giving her a graduation gift. He's not interested in getting married right now. And wait a second, what do you mean? But she's saying a lush of kedushin. Shouldn't he protest? Nah. Says the round, the stakes aren't so high. He says the Ran, what are the great stakes? What are the great consequences of him not being moicha? Worst case scenario, please don't relate this to their wives. Worst case scenario, he got stuck. He's married to her. Says the Ran, what's the big deal? If he doesn't like, we'll marry somebody else. This is pre-chem der menageshim. We'll take another wife. So says the Ran, from the vantage point of the man, it's not so. He's not so closed in. He's not so boxed in for the fact that he just got married. So therefore, he didn't make it a point to be meicha. There's no raya brewer from his shtika that he was masking to the kedushin. We have to prove beyond the shadow of a doubt the shtika kodah. So the Ran says the shtika of the isha is a proof. It's a proof positive that she wants to get married. The shtika of the man, maybe yeah, maybe no. Therefore, even though he's not really maskim, he'll be quiet. It doesn't bother him. He doesn't want to start a fight with her here. You know, he's friendly with her. He's giving her a nice birthday present. Maybe down the line they want to get married. So he gives her a birthday present. And she jumps in and says, "Ah, Harenim Kudash is Lacha." He doesn't want to insult her. He doesn't want to say, "What are you crazy? We're not getting married. We're only 15. So he doesn't want to be Meichek, because maybe down the line she does want to get married to him. So he's quiet. So says the Ran, his silence is not a proof of anything. Because maybe the reason why he was silent, he figured, worst case, they'll get married anyway, he'll marry somebody else.
How are we so sure that she understood what the ramifications were?
We assume that a regular woman, unless we have reason to believe that she doesn't understand anything, that the word Kedushin, she understands what marriage. You know, if the woman doesn't know what's going on, she doesn't understand Hebrew, she doesn't know what's flying, so then she's not married. But again, she understands Mekudesh is a Lashon marriage. Most women, it's understood that they realize that once they become married, they remain married to this man until he chooses to give her a get. So harshtika is automatic, is an indication of das.
Could circumstances affect it? Meaning if you just saw her with a white dress walking down an aisle.
Very good, excellent.
If she was like in the back, I don't know, in the garage, and something happened by accident.
Okay, well, look at that. If she's standing, walking down the aisle with a white dress and someone's singing Mi Bansiach, so that's what's called Asuka B'yosu Inyan. So then the Ikra did, you probably wouldn't even need any Dibur. Probably he just puts a ring on the chuppah, didn't say a word, probably would still work. If she's standing in the garage, well, it depends. If there are no Edom around, there's nothing going on. But if there are Edom there, and a man gives a ring to a woman in the presence of Edom, he says, that's an issue. That could potentially be a very serious issue. So what I thought we were going to ask is, can the circumstances change? Namely, can this umdana, can this assessment that every time a woman is shosekes, she's agreeing, every time the man is shosek, he's not necessarily agreeing, could that change b'zmanazeh? So the Avne Miluim, the Balak Tzoyz, the Avne Miluim says he thinks it can change b'zmanazeh. Why? He says, this is not like halacha moshe m'sinai assessment, this is psychology 101. It means you have to ask the psychologist, ask the mumchen, figure out, we just saw the man be quiet. Is that an indication? Can we say with certainty he agreed to the condition or not? So the psychologist, Bezman Chazal, will tell you, you can't tell anything from his silence. You know why? Because in the back of the mind, he figures, what's the big deal? I'm going to marry somebody else anyway. Comes out of the movement and says, that's very nice if you live before Rabbeinu Gershom. But we, Ashkenazim, live post the era of Rabbeinu Gershom. He's not allowed to marry somebody else. He can't take a second wife. We'll put him at the Chayrim if he takes a second wife. So now, when a man thinks to himself, uh-oh, am I getting married? It's very serious. Bezman Chazal, it was less committal to get married. It means you're married, but you can marry somebody else. Bezman Hazet, it's a governance, a cheirem, it could be a cheirem, it's their ice, it's like a failure, we'll throw him out of the community, we won't talk to him. He's never going to put himself in the situation of thinking, well, yeah, it's okay, I'll get stuck with this woman, but don't worry, I'll take somebody else in 6 months. No, you won't. And don't think you're going to be able to divorce her so fast. Another chemer ben Gershom was, you can't divorce your wife against the will. So says the Avdei Miluim, now that we live in a post-chemer ben Gershom world, the man and the woman have in effect become equal in terms of these halachas. So just as the shtika of the woman is an indication that she's serious, the shtika of the man may be an indication as well. So this din in the Gemara may, in a sense, change as man as that. Not the din changes. The din, the Torah doesn't change. The metzias changes. The metzias advarim has now changed. The metzias advarim that used to indicate that shtika of the man was not a proof may have altered as man as that to indicate that it is a proof as man as that. So says the Avdei Miluim, according to the Raman, the Tuar, and the Ran, if he gives her a ring today, and she does the talking, she may very well be Mekudeshes, because maybe we'll say, Shtika Kodo, we know for a fact that he's masking to get married. According to Rashi, we would never say that. According to Rashi, there are the halachic objective criteria. Kiyikach has to be met. Kiyikach is as true today as it was 3,500 years ago. So the psychology has changed, Rizman, is that because of the new innovation, because the innovation of Chayim Ben Gershom, that has altered the psychology, which according to the Raman the Tur, that's ultimately going to quote-unquote alter the halacha, because the halacha is a direct response to what the psychological assessment of what the person is, which can change Rizman Hazeh. But as according to Rashi, Kikach doesn't change. The same Shabbos doesn't change. Kashrus doesn't change. Tassus Shabbos doesn't change. Psychology could change. So halachas that are potentially rooted in psychology could potentially change. But a halacha that's based on Tzukim, that's never going to change. So Achopanim, we have two very, very different approaches in the Rishonim Rashi against the Ramah, the Tur and the Ran, as to what exactly is the issue, what's the latest asafik of the sugya of Nasan of Amri. But we have to now raise the next question, namely, why is there such a machlokes? We've identified what the machlokes is. Why is there such a machlokes? Why is it that Rashi seems to be putting so much significance on the Dibur, that he's sticking the word Dibur almost into the Diaraistic category of Kikach, whereas the Ramah, the Tur, the Ran are almost minimizing Dibur. They're almost saying, Dibur is nice. It's just a way of figuring out what the facts are. We're just using Dibur to measure as a barometer just how serious everybody is. But in terms of really truly being part of Kikach, they're not as part of Kikach as we thought it was. So this really raises the fundamental question, which is really Vichakir and Asugya. What exactly is the role of Amira, of Dibur under the Chuppah? Forget about these crazy cases of Nasan Huvi Amri, a regular, normal scenario. He gives the ring, he does the Dibur. Why is the Dibur? Why does the Braisa begin? We opened up the Sugya by saying, Tana Ketzeb Kesef, Nasan Lava Amala. Why? Why does he have to give her? Why does he have to speak? Why can't he just give her a ring and call it a day? Why does he have to say Arab Gudeshesli? So there's a fundamental question in the Acharonim, the Chakir in the Acharonim, which is really reflected in these Rishonim. What is the nature of the din of Dibur? One can understand Dibur one of two ways. One can understand that the method of Kedushin really, truly, is Kesef Shtar B'yah. The methods of Kesef Shtar B'yah. The giving of the ring, that is the Maisa Kedushin. When the Torah says, Kika Chishisha, the Torah Shabbat explains, Kika Kika Mishte Ephron, the Maisa Kedushin, the determining fact of Kedushin, is the Kika, is the Kesef itself. So what did he need before? He need Dibur for a very pure, practical reason. The practical reason is, how do you know this is Kedushin? How do you know you saw a man give a ring to a woman? How do you know it's for Kedushin? You saw a man being boiled away. How do you know it's for Kedushin? Maybe it's for Zanut. How do you know? Maybe it's a graduation gift. Maybe it's a birthday present. How do you have any idea of knowing? So the word of the halachas of Dibur are not really independently required. Dibur is necessary to in a sense, to complement the Kesef. The Kesef is really what's going on. That's the Iker Kedushin. Except that Kesef, in the absence of a Dibur, you don't even know that you have Kesef L'Shem Kedushin. Is that all Dibur and Kedushin is? Or maybe Dibur is much more profound than that. Maybe Dibur is part of Kikach. The Torah says Kikach. Kikach means man has to take the woman. How do you take the woman? So we have Halacha Moshe Mesina, Kesef, and we have Pesuch Mushtam, we have Pesuch Mabiyah, we have Dinim Dereis, and the three methods, Isha Nikis, Biyam Udrachim. But that's not enough. The Torah says, the Torah Shabbat explains, just almost like Derech Moshel, when it says Vayikach Korach. So Rashi says, what do you mean? Vayikach Korach picked up everybody. Vayikach means Moshe Mitvarim. The word Kicha has a connotation in Lashon HaKodesh of not just physical taking, it means influencing, to convincing. So Kicha Chishisha means the man has to give her some kind of physical action, Kesef Shtar B'yah, as well as express himself with words, what he's planning on doing. So the Dibur in Kedushin is not just there merely to serve the purposes of the Kesef. It's not that the Kesef is everything, the Dibur is just there to explain what the Kesef is. The Dibur itself is an integral part of the Mais of Kikach Hishisha. That's a whole different ballgame, a whole different way of describing what the role of Dibur is. So that question may very well be at the root of this Machlekes Rishonim. Hopefully that's from tomorrow. We have to understand how that Chakim and the Acharonim clearly is going to be related to this Machlekes Rashi and the other Rishonim. And number two, we have to go back to the Gemaras and see, what's the din? Who's right? What is the nature of Dibur? Do we have any rise from the Gemara itself? What exactly the nature of Dibur is all about? Tomorrow we'll continue with this.